I'd like you to think with me for a bit this morning about the role the Word of God plays in your life. The importance of having the Word of God. 500 years ago, on October 31st, the Reformation is marked as beginning. The Reformation was the reforming of the church. The Reformation was the taking what existed and realizing it needed to be changed, it needed to be realigned, it needed to be purified. And so God started an amazing work of reforming His body that had become corrupted in many ways. 500 years ago marks the date when Martin Luther pounded a debate notice, basically, on the community bulletin board, which actually was the church door. That's what they used them for back then. It was called the 95 Theses, and if you read through them, you realize a lot of them are about this practice that had become part of the habit there of the church of selling indulgences, and he wanted to reform that because it was an unbiblical practice. But it started a huge debate that transformed our whole world. As people who belong to a church that's called Resurrection Free Lutheran Church, it's good for us to think, what does it mean that part of our history traces back to a man that God used 500 years ago named Martin Luther? When people think about what started the Reformation, they might mention that pounding of the theses on that door, but if you ask Martin Luther what started the Reformation, what was the key to the Reformation, he would tell you it was the Word of God. The Word of God. So what that means for us is, as people who call ourselves Christian, especially anybody who might call themselves as member of a Lutheran church, we want to be people who are being reformed by the Word. People who love the Word, crave the Word, recognize the beauty of the Word, and are constantly being filled with the Word. Some of the quotes I read this just past week about Martin Luther and his view of the Word, one of the things he said was, I read through the entire Bible at least twice a year. That's besides his studying and his prepping for all the other teaching and speaking things he did. But devotionally, he reads through the Bible twice a year because he recognized he needed it inside of himself, and he wanted it to be like a rich tree with many branches that filled him full of God's truth. So our challenge today is that we would be people who fall deeper in love with Jesus through His Word, people who spend time soaking in His Word, time thinking about, meditating on His Word, people who invest the energy to memorize His Word, people who cut apart time out of our days to spend each day in the Word, people who are people of the Word. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, Paul's writing to the Thessalonians, and he writes, and we also thank God constantly for this. What does Paul thank God constantly for? He thanks God constantly for the fact that when you Thessalonians received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the Word of God, which is at work in you, believers. There's a lot to that verse, but here's Paul writing to some people that he had visited before and preached the gospel to before. He's writing to them now, encouraging them, trying to strengthen their faith. But as he's in the process of writing to them, he's highlighting the fact that he knows that when he came to them and when he spoke to them, they heard his words. They listened to him. Now that in itself is a miracle, because Paul preached many places, and in some of those places, they completely rejected everything he said. Some of those places, as he got done preaching, they were throwing stones at him. They were lashing him. They were imprisoning him. But in Thessalonica, as he preached the word, they received it not just as words from a man, but as words from God. And that gives us insight as to how we should approach this thing called the Holy Bible. That when we pick it up and when we read it, and when we hear it expounded upon, we listen to, we comprehend those words and recognize those are not just men's words. Those are God's words. One of the things that's happening in this time in which we live is that people have decided that they are superior to the Scriptures, and that human reason is superior to the written word. And so they have assigned themselves the huge responsibility of cutting and editing and removing those portions which they don't believe in, and trying to find just the small little nuggets that they are willing to accept as the Word of God. And in my mind, that's utter foolishness. That's just showing the depravity and pride of some people, that they would think they are superior to the written word and have the opportunity or have the right to edit it, to cut out portions. But we stand as people who say this word of God is inerrant, it is infallible, it is God's word to us, and through it we have life, because through it we encounter Christ. One of the things I encourage you to do is follow in the footsteps of Martin Luther, who said, the Word of God is a creating word. It creates faith. It creates the ability to respond to God. It creates the ability to recognize God. The Word of God, the written Word of God, becomes the spoken Word of God, becomes the revelation of God inside of us, through which we are encountering God Himself. We don't read it for information, we read it for encounter. We don't read it to get smarter, we read it to be transformed. And we need to be transformed. Let me quote the famous theologian Mark Twain, who said, we're all like the moon. We all have a dark side that we keep hidden. Did you realize that about the moon? As it moves around us, we only ever see one side of it. If you want to see the other side of the moon, you need to go out into space and fly around the other side. And all of you are like the moon, as am I. We have a dark side. I was confronted with my sinfulness this morning on my drive-in as I passed Wendy Pastor and waved at her again like I do every Sunday. She's going the speed limit. I thought, this is quite the testimony. Every Sunday I pass Wendy as I speed on by her. And we might think that speeding's a small little sin. But we all have stuff. Small little sins, big sins, dark sins, things we're ashamed of, habits, entrenched patterns of responding to situations, and we all have them, and we all need the Word of God to be at work in us, transforming us. Have you allowed the Word of God to transform you? If you've ever been able to recognize that Christ indeed is the Messiah of the world, Jesus is the Savior, if you've recognized that, if you recognize that God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit are the ones who made you and are calling you, the ones who are beckoning you into a relationship, who are inviting you to receive the gift of salvation, then you've started this process of transformation. But let me encourage you to recognize that that transformation process continues. Your whole life long, you're allowing God to work in your life and to transform you into ever-increasing dimensions of and aspects of Christ-likeness. The Word of God is at work in us. With the kids, we talked about how the Word of God is described as being the guide showing us which way to go, kind of like a map. The Word of God is spiritual food. The Word of God is healing to our bones. the Word of God is the one that removes our fears. And you could go on and on with the analogies that Scripture uses to describe itself and the way it works in our lives. What you need is the Word of God to change you, transform you, realign you, bring you into conformity with God's perfection. 2 Peter 1:4 says, through these, God's power, He has given us His very great and precious promises. Through God's power, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them, God's promises, you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. That dark side of you, those evil desires that are there, they're working, but they can be escaped. How? Through the Scriptures, God's promises that set you free to participate in the divine nature. Jesus said something like this. It was our call to worship verse, John 8:31 and 32. If you abide in my word, abide is that old word, it means stay connected to, dwell in, be connected to in a way that life is flowing, like a branch connected to a tree. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you stay in the Word, if you abide in the Word, if you live connected to the Word, you'll know truth, and the truth will effectively set you free, rescue you, deliver you, save you. And what does John start off telling us the Word of God is? It's Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. Jesus comes as the personalized Word of God, the proclamation of God, the declaration of God. God, the Son, is the Word, and He has guided that His Word would be recorded. Isn't it interesting that the apostles and the prophets before them felt it necessary to write down the Word? If they just spoke it and it went into the ears of their hearers, and then maybe it came through the minds and bodies of those hearers to another person and another person, if it was just oral tradition passed down, how much would your level of confidence differ compared to what it is when you have the Word of God written down, kept here, recorded? So it could be preserved and passed down without error. Now, I know some of you love to read and some of you really do not care to read. But let me encourage you that the most important reason to send your children into an education environment is that they learn how to read the Word of God. Educating for other reasons is important. You can minimize the number of mistakes your kids make by educating them in all sorts of different areas. But the most important reason to educate your children is that they can become people who are able to read the Word of God, consume the Word of God for themselves, take in the Word of God for themselves. Because it is through the Word that we are transformed. We spent much of the last 3 years preaching ministry traveling through one particular book of the Bible. Anybody know what it is? Romans, good. I'm glad you caught that. The reason we've been doing that is that it was this particular epistle in the New Testament that launched the Reformation. It was the book of Romans that the Apostle Paul penned and sent to the church in Rome that Martin Luther pored over, read over time and time and time again. And it was the book of Romans that God used to for him to finally grasp the reality of the gospel. In Romans chapter 1, verse 17, it reads, "For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by..." You know what the next word is? "A righteousness that is by works." It's not what it says. "A righteousness that is by church attendance" is not what it says. "A righteousness that is by performing a set of proper rituals" is not what it says. The text of Scripture that started the Reformation says, "For in the Gospels a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written in the Old Testament, 'The righteous will live by faith,'" quoting Habakkuk 2:4. "The righteous will live by faith." Reading that started the Reformation. That same letter, that epistle to the Roman church in chapter 12, talks about how as we continue in this faith, it'll have a work in us. Romans 12, verse 1 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer yourselves, your bodies, as living sacrifices to Him, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." And then it follows with verse 2, "Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to," let me translate it into Kangas language, "then you'll be able to participate in the will of God." Transformed. Faith is birthed through the Word of God. Then this transformation continues through the Word of God. As you read it, it impacts you. I'm excited for you to hear the testimonies in two Sundays from a group of men from the ministry called Teen Challenge. These are guys in varying stages of being set free from their addictions and their negative patterns that have plagued their lives. And some of them are far enough along in the journey where they have encountered God through His Word. The foundation of the Teen Challenge ministry is to immerse these guys in the Word of God, to immerse them in God's recorded, written, preserved Word. And as they're immersed in that Word, it grabs a hold of them, and it sets them free. And then as it sets them free, suddenly they're able to hear God's truth and then apply God's truth, start living God's truth. They're actually able to change the way they go through their daily patterns of existence. They're transformed by the Word of God. And as we hear about those dramatic transformations, it encourages us that maybe God can do a transforming work in me. Maybe the things that are not quite as socially unacceptable, but still are sinful patterns in me, can also be transformed by the Word of God. I want you to hear God say to your heart today, "I will set you free from what's holding you back. I will set you free from those things that are oppressing you. I'll set you free from the negative interactions that constantly plague your home life. I'll set you free from the need to control the people around you. I'll set you free from the need to constantly be worrying about what's going to happen next and thinking about your anxiety, you're helping things turn out better. I'll set you free from your lusts and your addictions and your fears and your concerns. I'll set you free," is what God is saying to you. And He'll do it through His Word. He'll do it through His Word. Isn't it amazing that the Reformation was launched through the Word of God? Martin Luther lived at a time shortly after the, is this the right name, confirmation students? Erasmus translated the Bible into Greek. Or let me restate that. Put together the Greek New Testament for them to read again. Brought it together from the different manuscripts. It had been entrapped in Latin for generations. The church kept it stuck in Latin. There were only Latin Bibles that were being used in the churches, and most churches didn't even have a copy of the Bible at all. But Erasmus brought it, the Greek texts forward, and then Martin Luther was able to study the New Testament in its original language of Greek. And then Martin Luther took that Greek New Testament, original language, and translated it into the language of the people, in that case, German. And suddenly, for the first time, lay people had the Bible. That modern, amazing multimedia invention occurred shortly before this time, called the printing press. And the Bible was printed, made affordable, and started being put into the hands of the families. Then Martin Luther took passages of Scripture and put it into a short little teaching tool interspersed with questions. Anybody know what this little booklet's called, where Martin Luther took the Word of God and with headings and questions to start his discussion? Start giving it to families to use around their supper tables. The Catechism is what we call it. It's a little instructional booklet, but it's the Word of God packaged in a way based upon a question and answer format. It's a teaching methodology. What happened was the Word of God suddenly was set free, no longer trapped by the church into a dead language, but brought forth and then put into the living languages of the people, the hearers, the interactors, so they could listen to the Word of God being read. They could read it themselves. They could interact with it, and the Holy Spirit could activate faith through the Word of God. The tragedy back then was that the Word of God was kept locked up in a language that people didn't know. The tragedy today is that we've got the Bible in our homes, but it's locked up. It's not open. It's not being read. What are the chains wrapped around your Bible? What's keeping you from reading it, to thinking about it, to meditating on it, to memorizing it? I read about a group of people called the Lollards. They were so concerned that the Word of God would be taken away from them again, that they assigned different family units to memorize different portions. Okay, you memorize Hebrews, you memorize Romans, you memorize Matthew, you memorize John, you memorize Galatians, and they assigned it on through the congregation so that if the authorities ever came in and took away their written copies, they'd be able to, from memory, restore the Word of God into their church. Which passage do you want to be assigned, Randy? Which one do you want to have, Randy? Think about the impact if the Word of God was no longer chained up, but became part of the inside of us. I believe the church today around the world, the church today in America, the church today in our territory, our region, surrounding communities of Beltrami and out, the church today called Resurrection Free Lutheran Church, the church today that meets in your home, the church today that sleeps on your pillow, needs a reformation. A reformation launched by a craving the Word of God. Let's pray. God, we thank you for what you've done in the past through your Word. And seeing the history of you using the word helps us to recognize that you could do it again. So we ask today that you would use your word to transform each and every one of us, to cause faith to blossom and grow in amazing proportions, to cause faith to grow so salvation begins for some and then multiplies and grows exponentially in the rest of us, all of us. We don't want to stay where we're at. We don't want to stay stuck in our patterns and our sins, Lord. We want to be set free by your word. So unchain your word for us. We come against the enemy in each of our situations. We come against the devil himself. We come against the demonic emissaries that are assigned to each family unit and each person. And we say in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, be gone. We cut off your influence. And we loosen the word of God. We open the word of God. We receive the promises of God. By faith, we say yes to the gift of the manna from heaven being given to us. We say yes to the word of God. And we say we want it. We crave it more than milk. We crave it like newborn babies crave food. We want your word, God. And we will cut away the things that need to be cut away so there's time for the word. There's energy for the word. And we will enter into an encounter with you through the word in which we're saying, Lord, speak to me. Your servant is listening. Let me interrupt my prayer. Just say a word. We have a Sunday school class going on called Discerning the Voice of God. I don't know what all is being said. I endorse the class. I encourage you to go to the class. You can hear the voice of God today and every day. I take in the Bible, opening it up, praying a prayer, saying, God Almighty, I want to hear from you. Speak to me through your word. And start reading. And as you read, pray it back to God. As you read, pray about it. As you read, interact with God about it. If you want coaching on how to do that, come to my Tuesday morning men's group. We're trying to do that there. But every day, you could hear from God. You could discern God's voice by opening up this word and entering into interaction with it, prayerful interaction with it. God wants to reform your heart. And he'll do it through his word. So, Lord, we pray again. Thank you for your word. Open it up to us. Make us be people who crave it. And by your spirit, hear your voice through your word. In Christ's name we pray.